joined in the studio by Dr. Charlie Montero, board-certified internal medicine specialist and past president of the North Carolina Medical Society, now on the current board of the Durham-Orange County Medical Society. Dr. Montero, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me back.
And this conversation presented by the Durham-Orange County Medical Society. Get more information from them online. We'll get you the website in a little while. So last time we talked was in March, so 14 years ago. What do we know now that we didn't know then?
Well, one of the things that was a real concern when we met before was how is this going to go forward with people as far as being exposed and catching it. We didn't know much about the method of transmission. We didn't know how transmissible it was. You know, there were so many unknowns that it was quite frightening at that point. But now we know a lot more, and we're prepared and equipped to deal with this better. And there's actually, I've got some good news for everybody here today. But, you know, we're right now, there's over 2 million cases have been diagnosed in our country. Over 116,000 people have died in our state, 45,000 cases, and over 1,000 deaths. So very significant. And right now, as we're talking, hospitalizations are going up. So we are not out of the woods by any means.
Yeah, and we're talking about the number of hospitalizations, and there's so many different numbers to keep track of, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, but you're looking at the case numbers, you're looking at the number of deaths, number of percentage of positive tests, and the number of hospitalizations. Is the number of hospitalizations kind of the key number to look at in terms of how we're managing it and not overwhelming the healthcare system?
Yes, that is really my go-to number to predict what's going to happen, because that number will tell us really where we're going to be in 10 to 14 days. And the number of cases going up was not surprising as testing was ramping up.
Because we're doing more tests, right?
So we're going to catch more cases. That's fine. But when you see the hospitalizations going up, then you know that more people are going to die from this, and you're going to start bumping up against your capacity in the hospital. And that's really a major concern.
What is the good news?
So some of the good news is that since we talked, there have been some advances in knowledge about treatment of the virus. And so there's an antiviral drug called remdesivir, which has been demonstrated to be beneficial for very severely ill patients who are in the intensive care unit and whose oxygen levels are below 94% oxygen saturation. Those are the indicators for using it, and it has been demonstrated to be helpful. Just this week, out of England, we found out that dexamethasone, a very inexpensive, powerful oral steroid or IV steroid, can be used either way, has been shown to be effective in treating very sick patients. There's also the use of intravenous immune globulin. So this is from patients who have recovered from the viral infection. We use their serum and give it to very ill patients, and the antibodies that are present fight the disease and help turn it around for folks. There's some research going in on interleukin-6 or IL-6 inhibitors. These are inflammatory chemicals in the body that, if you can block them, that helps relieve the severe inflammation that we've seen with severe COVID infections. So we've learned a lot about that, and that's all good news.
That's awesome. Speaking with Dr. Charlie Montero, again, Durham Orange County Medical Society, docmedsoc.org is their website, or you can just search for Durham Orange County Medical Society on Google. It'll come right up. So all of those treatments have been developed and are in use. Obviously, everyone who can be working on a vaccine is working on a vaccine. If and when we get one, what happens after that? How long does it take between we've got a vaccine to people actually receiving it?
Yeah, so the vaccine picture is looking better than expected, because progress is being made at record rates. They started vaccine development, or any new drug or treatment development, has to go through various phases, starting to determine whether or not it works and whether or not it's safe. And then finally, it gets compared to whatever the standard treatment is to determine if it's acceptable to be approved. And so The vaccine research is getting into the third phase coming up, and that's the last phase before it gets approved. So it's very exciting. But what else is happening is that they're sort of pre-producing the vaccine so that if it does work out, it'll be ready to be distributed. I think as far as who's going to get it and how that gets distributed, that's a really tough question. I know it's going to be, along the front lines of those who are most at risk.
Right.
And, of course, all of our frontline workers who are exposed. And so it's going to be there first, for sure.
Is the pre-production of the vaccine, is that something that we're doing for the first time with this? Or is that something that's happened
before? I
don't
believe that's the first time that's been done, but I don't believe it's ever been done to this degree.
Right. You mentioned that, and the only thing that I could think of was before the national championship game when the T-shirt companies are printing shirts
exactly,
for both.
Exactly, that's right. And,
yeah.
You know, some of those T-shirts will be great, and some of them will not be any good at all.
So, again, speaking with Dr. Charlie Montero, so the other thing that we're focusing on right now is testing, and we're ramping up the number of testing. We're also starting to increase antibody testing. How effective are those tests?
So, testing is really an important aspect of how we're managing this pandemic. There are really two types of tests. The antigen test, which is testing for the presence of the virus in the person.
Like, do you have this right now?
Do you have it right now? And then the antibody test is to test to see, have you had it and have you developed antibodies against it and presumably some immunity to it? And so the antigen test has been pretty good, but it's not perfect. The failure rate or the false negative rate is showing up to be about 15% for the tests we're using. So that means that if you have the condition, I mean, you have the symptoms and, you know, you've been exposed, but your test is negative, you still could be positive. So you have to pay attention to that and respect that. But it has been a pretty good test in my experience so far. And we've been able to get enough tests to test people who need it. The antibody test has been a disappointment to this point from my experience. I've tested a number of patients who were proven positive, and I've only had one come back positive with the antibody, and that was a patient who was severely ill and hospitalized. So I think the false negative rate for the antibody test is very high and unfortunately not good enough.
Yet. What does that mean for the way that we approach it? Because I can imagine, like, my first thought is, oh, if I test negative but it's a false negative and I've in fact had the virus before, that's good news for me, right?
Well, it's hard to know what to do with that information because it's not helpful when you can't depend on the test. And that's where it becomes difficult for us.
So for people who are experiencing symptoms, what's the advice? What should they do?
So number one is to quarantine yourself and be away from others and ride it out as you can. Now, if you have shortness of breath, trouble breathing, that's a different issue. That's going to require a higher level of treatment. But if you have less severe symptoms, ride it out. Do not expose other people and stay in self-quarantine until you at least have your symptoms are gone and you've not had any fever for at least 3 days.
And we're talking about like fever and a cough still, right?
Yes,
the major symptoms.
The cough and the fever. But the other symptoms that we see are the shortness of breath, loss of taste and smell, and still some people have a GI syndrome with this, where they have vomiting, nausea, and diarrhea, and it's COVID.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Speaking with Dr. Charlie Montero, again, Durham Orange County Medical Society bringing us this conversation. The other thing that we're talking about, and we mentioned up top, the health issue is severe. The economic issue is severe as well with shutdowns and closures and cancellations. And everyone's kind of pushing to get back open as soon as possible. Obviously, can't do that right now. So what are your thoughts about the reopening process as it's happened in North Carolina? Is it too fast, too slow?
Well, the problem that I'm seeing is that people are not respecting the prevention methods that we know work while we're opening up. And so I think that's really a problem, and I'm seeing this firsthand. So Dr. Atul Gawande outlined a way forward in the New Yorker magazine. It's an excellent article, And he talked about the four things we do to move forward so we don't shut down again. Number one is masks. I know I probably sound funny to people who know me today because I'm wearing two masks.
You are, in fact, wearing a mask right now.
I'm wearing two,
yeah.
And so I'm wearing an N95 respirator. So that is a mask that protects me from you, but also protects you from me.
Mm-hmm.
And then anyone who's wearing any other kind of mask or facial covering, that protects me from them. So it's doing a courtesy to your fellow citizens by, if you're going to be in close quarters or inside, you should probably consider wearing a mask. And the second aspect of it is social distancing. Just think about it as dealing with a poisonous snake. All right, if you're 6 feet away from a poisonous snake, it's not, the likelihood it's going to hurt you is pretty low. But if you pick up that snake and handle it, you're going to get bit. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with COVID. If you get close and you spend time with someone who has an infection, whether they know it or not, you're at risk for getting it. So keep your distance. The third thing is the hand washing. We talked about that before. The studies show the more you do it, the better it is, too. So 5, 6, 7 times a day, you know, that's makes a difference. The more, the merrier. So that's good. And then we already talked about quarantining, where if you have symptoms, stay home.
Don't go
to work.
Yep.
Don't expose people. And if you've been exposed, take precautions. You know, if you know you've been exposed, lay low for the quarantine period, and make sure that you don't develop symptoms. And if you do start to have symptoms, get tested.
Yeah, got to start wrapping up. Anything else that folks ought to know right now?
Yeah, the
about
one
COVID?
Other thing I wanted to talk about was the health disparities that have come forward from this pandemic. And we've seen a disproportionate burden of illness and death in our minority population. There are two studies I wanted to talk about quickly. One was in hospitalized patients where the Caucasian hospitalized percentage was 45%, where the community number was 55%, so mm-hmm. less than in the community. Whereas with the African-American population, 33% of the cases in the hospital were there, African-Americans, and it's only 18% in the population. And we all see the same thing with the death rate. In fact, the death rate is double for African-Americans versus Caucasians. Mm-hmm. So very severe impact. And there are a lot of factors involved in that. It's been a real challenge to try and work on this problem and make people aware.
What do we need to be doing with that information? Like, there's a disparity. We know. What do we need to do to address it right now?
So we have to look at the areas that are impacted and reach out to them. We have to get testing to areas. Much of the problem is that people living in places where they're not close to a medical facility, mm-hmm. they don't have access to other services, and they're working in service industries where oftentimes, especially in large cities, they have to take public transport. So there's that increased exposure. And so we have to bring the test to them, I think, and help them, and then distribute the equipment. If they need masks or hand sanitizer, we need to be able to help get that to people who need it.
Well, this is going to be a constantly changing situation, so we'll stay in touch in another, what will feel like 14 years from now, I'm sure, but much, much sooner. Dr. Charlie Montero, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.